We're starting a new series today, and actually, it just comes out of conversations I've had with a lot of people. Conversation goes something like this. John, really? Seriously? In fact, I just talked to someone this week because they were talking with someone at Barnes & Noble. It's this whole thing of, I kind of get what you're talking about Jesus and following Jesus, but you know, what about everyone else? What about people of other religions and stuff like that? I mean, is they're just kind of out on this whole thing? And I hear things like, surely there's more ways to get to heaven. You know, God's created this whole cosmos, He's created this whole universe. Isn't there something more creative out there? I mean, I have nothing against Christianity per se, but what about that whole thing there? And I think it's true at New Life, especially because we have a lot of people that come from not very much of a church background. I think there's a lot that say, I'm a follower of Jesus here at New Life, and yet you would also say that whole thing of, but I just think there's many avenues on how to get to heaven. And so it's like there's many paths to get to heaven. At my graduate school, this is a lot of what I studied, the equivalency of what's a sacred text in all these different religious traditions, what's your concept of the afterlife or heaven or whatever, and then you compare all these things, see if there's any commonalities, whether it's a world religion or not a religion at all, and if so, if it's the 4% of the population that are atheists, what kind of an atheist are you? Do you come from British roots atheists, or are you more of a Northern European? You know, there's different types of atheists, you didn't even know that. And you didn't even care to know that, but it's true. And so you have all of these different things swirling around. And so I've spent a lot of time. I've always wanted to actually just kind of do something like this. And I've had in the back of my mind, I listened to a series a long time ago. And so I use this as the title of this, which is How Good Is Good Enough by Andy Stanley, which is a guy who pastors a church on the East Coast. So I kind of had that shelved also. So I've kind of put this stuff together because to me it just seems it's so important. So I want to talk about a premise that I really see. So if you get your notes out like this, I just want to start off with a premise here because I think that most people who believe that there are many paths also believe something. There is something that they really do believe, and I just like to expose that a little bit. And I think the common denominator is this. You see here, the common premise is good people go to heaven. That seems to be the premise. It's just like, well, John, I don't know about all this different religions or whatever, but I just kind of think that good people go to heaven. And so that's really where we're going to start from. So the common denominator is being good people. That is the common denominator. So you can write that down. Hopefully, blank comes up on that. So the idea there is religion's kind of optional. You can have all kinds. So, the premise, good people go to heaven. So you can be good Christians. You can be good Muslims. You can be good Buddhists. You can be good Hindus. You can be good agnostics. You can be good 49er fans. You can be good Raider fans. You know, and you can just, whatever. There'll be some Raiders and 49er people in heaven, because you just believe that there are some good people. Although if you went to the preseason Raider 49er game, you would not be sure with all the fights that broke out in the stadium. But we won. No, just kidding. Just kidding. New Lifers won. No. All right. So the common denominator, it's really not a belief system, and it's really not a God. And so the common denominator, again, if you talk with people, appears to be, well, just being a good person. Let's just be a good person. And so I could see kind of where that's attractive. It's kind of the idea of, I've asked a question before, why should you go to heaven? Very, very common answer. You might want to try it sometime, just with people if they're open to it. I just try to do good. I try to be a good person. And notice what they always say. And maybe you've said this too. And almost immediately I have to say, well, I try to be a good person. Then what do they say? They say, but I'm not perfect. Have you ever heard that? It's like they have to remind us they're not perfect. You know what I mean? You know, the truth is, none of it, but no, I know I appear like I'm perfect, but I'm not. I'm just letting you know, just get that idea out of your mind. But we all say it, don't we? No, I'm not perfect. But then we go on, but I do my best. I do my best. You might even say, you know, and I believe in God. And but when asked why you should go to heaven, most people answer even that way at New Life, and then you start making kind of a list. I think a lot of people do, and so it's a common view about heaven. So you know, some of the things on that attractive points of this premise, and it's going to be easy to write down. Okay, and it's this: it sounds good, doesn't it? So you can write these things down. It sounds good. It affirms that you are a good person. That's nice to hear, isn't it? You're just a good person. That sounds good. It motivates you to be good. You kind of aspire to what people expect of you. That seems to be part of common nature, human nature. And it sounds consistent with the idea of a good God. So if you didn't get the blanks right, if you want to know what the third blank is, check the second, okay? Are you getting the pattern there? Okay, so it's good, 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 good. Good, 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 good. Yeah, there you go. So that's kind of the bottom line here. This kind of, there's rewards, you know, if you're good, if you're nice. What is it? There's a Christmas song like that, right? If you're naughty, you're nice. And we kind of bring that into an overall pattern here. And so my point with this series is not try to convince you of the merits of Christianity. That is not the main thing. And the point here I really want to bring up is that there are some real critical problems with the accepted unquestioned, because it sounds such common sense that, well, I just kind of think that, you know, whatever this whole thing's about, that good people go to heaven. And it's not even what's being said, it's how it's said, isn't it? Well, people, you know, the pseudo-intellectual voice comes out in all of us. You know, if you come up, if you're at a Starbucks or at a bar somewhere, and you're talking religious stuff, and then all of a sudden the religious stuff, the tone of voice kind of changes, and goes, you know, my cousin died and whatever, and then you're thinking, well, I hope they went to heaven, and then the voice, well, I just kind of think that all good people go to heaven. And isn't there a movie like that? All good people go to heaven? No, all good dogs go to, I'm sorry, all good dogs go to heaven. That was it. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the correction. All right. So anyway, there are some critical concerns to believing that good people go to heaven. Believe it or not, there are. And I want to introduce some of those to you here today. The first is I wrote it as a question: who checks our progress? And who's being good or bad? Who's the ref? Someone said at the live service, Santa Claus. That might be the case. So the point is, there really is no clear standard by which we can check our progress and how we make these things out. And so we really need to know what is good and what is good enough. And so if God ought to be good enough to let us know how good is good enough and what the difference between good and bad is, if he's a good God. And don't ask me to repeat what I just said. But are you getting what I'm saying here? Because some of you are kind of looking at it with your mouth open like, wow, what is he saying? I've always believed that this idea of just good people go to heaven. And so people, a lot of times when I talk to them, I'm just writing down a lot of my experiences with this. When I talk to them, they tried it because of their background here. They get the Bible out, or they evoke the Bible, and they say things like this. They say, you know, I just try to live by, what do they call it, the good book, right? I just try to live by the good book, John, and that's all I just try to do. And so what they mean by that, they start to make a live. I want to love people. I want to live by the Bible. And here's one. I want to do the Ten Commandments. I just kind of want to live by the Ten Commandments. Have you heard that one before? And so I want to give you a hint here on that. If you're using the Bible as your ethical standard, it's not going to happen. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. That's down your list a little bit. Who checks our progress and who's being good or bad? And so you can write that in if you want. I don't know if it's on a slide. If you're using the Bible as your ethical standard like everyone else, you will fail. You will fail. So the idea, I just try to live by the Bible, is try to love people. I just try to do the Ten Commandments. But none of that will ever be good enough. And because really, I want you to look at some verses here and what the Bible actually says. This is, if you want to live by the Bible, You need to know what the Bible says and what the criteria is here. Trying to just do a good job of keeping the Ten Commandments and then saying, well, I'm not perfect. This is what the Bible says. There's a problem if you're trying to live a moral life and using the Bible as your standard for that. Now, I guess what I'm saying is, you can go ahead and just say, well, I just believe good people go to heaven. It's fine to do that. What I'm telling you, don't try to use the Bible for that. That's all I'm saying. Is that making sense to you? Don't try to cook up your own theology and say, I just think good people go to heaven, and then I'm going to live by the good book. Because this is what the good book says about good people, okay? So would you focus with me here? Here's what the Bible says about humanity. For all, it doesn't say just the bad people. For all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. All. And that doesn't mean, well, I'm not perfect. That means, sin means not good, okay? Here's another one. Why did this have to be in the Bible? As it is written, that means it's other places in the Bible too. There is no one righteous who are bad people, not even one who are bad people. But the good people, this doesn't apply to. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. It just says flat out, there is no one righteous, not even how many? Not even one. That's what the Bible says, okay? So, look, you can embrace and you can believe, well, I just think good people go to heaven. It's fine for you to say that and to believe that. All I'm saying, again, if you want to believe that, don't invoke the Bible as your authority on that. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And I know you're thinking, well, I didn't know the Bible is such a negative book. You know, I just read about an actress recently, and it's a nice lady, you know, whatever. She's a good person. But she says, you know, I am a rabid atheist, and I just, there are many things in the Bible and the Quran, whatever, I'm just objectionable to, and I refute it. And I'm thinking, how? How does she refute it? She can't refute it because I'm a celebrity. I guess so. And so what I'm saying is you have the provocative to just say, I believe what I want to believe, and I just dismiss all of this. But life will catch up with each one of us someday. It will. And when you're on top and when you have what you think and you have the delusion of being in control, you can say whatever you want, but eventually something catches up with each one of us. And that's why I continue to say that we need a Savior. Every person needs a Savior. And so, one other scripture here. Therefore, again, there's those words, no one. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. What's that? That's a list, that's a checkoff list of just doing good things. And the whole Old Testament is full of that. And the story of the whole Old Testament is to prove to ourselves that we try to strike a deal with God. Okay, God, here's the checklist. We'll try to live up to this checklist, and then you'll bless us. And if we don't live up to this checklist, then according to our per agreement ahead of time, you will not bless us, but we deserve punishment, and you will do that. That's what was set up. But the whole story of the Old Testament is time after time after time after time after time, humanity was not able to live up to their end of the bargain on the checklist of naughty and nice. There'd be some things good, okay, some things not, okay? So through the law, we become conscious of sin. That is, it starts to give us kind of a comparison of where we should be at within our life. So, here's another deal about if it's just good people, the idea that go to heaven. You know, it's the argument of this. Say, okay, John, let's say we don't use the Bible. Well, I just believe that people kind of have an innate instinct in them to do good. And so you can write down, if God puts an innate instinct in all of us to do what is good and right, who makes the final call on this? You know, there's a good term, which I like. There are people at New Life who are in the area of law enforcement. Law enforcement. And that's an interesting thing. It's a good thing, and it's an interpretive thing. But they're equipped well, and they are out there. And God bless these folks that are out there. And you know, you could say they put it on the line for us, and they really, and they most certainly do. But they would, if we were to actually videotape a lot of these guys who've been in this in a career for a while, you would be shocked that the stories they could tell you that goes on behind closed doors in our beautiful little suburbs of our cities. You would be amazed of what's going on. Now, I'm not saying everyone's running around, they're kind of a skulking monster. I'm not saying that. Of course I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is the Bible is basically true. Why do we even need law enforcement, okay? Because we have a situation in humanity that we need to deal with. So this whole thing here about being raised in America, this idea of a good book I've talked about already, and who makes the final call, is there like a tipping scale? I mean, let's just think about this, because we're using terminology like good people and bad people. So who's a good person? Is it like 51? Is it like ownership of a corporation? If you own 51%, that's the thing, then you got the final say. So if you're 51% good and 49% bad, and then some of you are wanting to push the envelope, because I'm only 48% bad, what other 1% can I get away with? See? And so you kind of have this thing going on, and you're kind of using the Bible as a roadmap for this, and it's just not going to work out. Let me just mention again on the Ten Commandments. I know I'm regressing here a little bit, but the Ten Commandments, where the book is located, is in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, you will not find anything in there on how to get to heaven. It is not included in that book. It's because the book of Exodus is about a whole different process on giving us laws, on trying to earn our way to God. And then the whole story of the Old Testament is how that becomes an ultimate failure. So do you have that put together? So before we go on to this last one here, I just want to say this idea of this innate goodness. When you do that, I walked through a museum in Bucharest, Romania once, and in the basement they had all of the statues of Lenin there, and Stalin, and you know, all the former Marxist, you know, communist things that were there. And then all of the conflicts that happened within that country, and you can go throughout history, you have wars, and you can see how each sign of these wars, especially in European wars, they both evoke the name of God. Isn't that true? Even Adolf Hitler has evoked the name of God, and so you have wars that come together. I could show you documentation. In fact, I have in a book just right over here in this little office is where leaders, white leaders in the South during the time of slavery, actually had sermons constructed on the biblical basis of slavery and that how you are to treat people that are in slavery and why this is God's will. This is how they're going to hear the gospel in this lifetime. And you know, I can say that that's wrong. But who am I to say? Who am I to say? That's the point, isn't it? That's the point. It's coming to this thing of who's making the final call on this stuff. And if it's just kind of ambiguous little situation, you know, we say it's obvious, it's not good. What about Anglo-Saxons? That's what I'm calling them, who came from, you know, the European continent to the Americas, what we call the Americas, for religious freedom. The inconvenient problem is there were people already living here. Okay? And so we, the Anglo-Saxons say we, because that's part of my heritage, we just kind of booted them out and says, you know, convert or go. Okay? But don't live with us. Not in my backyard. Okay? And so the idea of right and wrong, the problem is if you go by this internal clock of what is right and wrong, this compass of morality continues to change in society, and there's no consensus. There's no consensus. So, you know, you have ethnic cleansing, things like that going on. So how do we know? And so the premise we have that we've talked about is good people go to heaven. The problem, we have no idea who is good or what is good. Not really. Not really. And so we do have, you go, well, John, we have the law. Well, what was the law based on? Do you know any history about how our laws were based and where that came from. And so the challenge, a good God owes it to us to let us know all the people everywhere what is good and what is good enough. If it's good, people go to heaven. He needs to really let us know what that is. And you say, well, John, that's where the good book comes in, and that's where I've already pointed out to you what the Bible says. If you're looking in the Bible, what's good enough? You're not going to really find that in the Bible. Okay, so you have to throw that one out. Don't throw your Bible away, okay? But you have to throw the idea out. And so if you think Christianity is unfair, the same problem is there with this idea all good people go to heaven. The very same problem. In fact, it's a more serious problem because you don't know the grade system. Now, next week, we'll look at the idea of fairness and how this whole thing works out. So the question I come back again is you have to be 51% good? Do you have to be 70% good? Do some sins weigh greater than other sins? When do your sins start counting? When do they start keeping a record of your sins? Do sins in your adolescence weigh less than your adult sins? To which I would say, I hope so. Okay. All right. Does it start to keep score? When does it start to keep score in our lives? What if you've done so many bad things on your scale that you don't have enough lifetime left to try to balance it out? What do you do then? Okay. All right. You see, so you see all this thing, well, I just think good people go to heaven. And so when I start asking these questions and I say, well, how do you know? You know what the typical answer is? It just is, John. It just is. Come on. It just is. Because what's going on is people are just don't give it a whole lot of thought. They just kind of come up with some kind of personal reality. They just kind of make it up. And they just say, well, I just want to go on with real life now. That's what happens time and time again. And so this idea that all good people just go to heaven, it's kind of like taking a class, and the professor gets up front and says basically this at the beginning of the class: at the end of the semester, we will have an exam. You're dismissed. And so people start raising their hand. Excuse me, is there a syllabus with this? Nope, no syllabus. Sir, do you have class notes online or anything? Nope, no notes. Can you tell us what the test is about? Nope, can't do that. It will be pass or fail, though. I'll give you that much. Okay? All right? Or maybe a race. You know, all good people, maybe it's like a race. And it's a race, and maybe there's a starting line, and then there's that little blank gun that pops. But there's no race course. There's no finish line. And so, ready, set, go. And so people just start running around. And they go, well, how do we know when we're done? It goes, well, we'll let you know. We'll let you know. Well, how do we know when we're fine? Well, we don't know yet. Maybe we'll figure it out. See? And so, do you see what I'm saying? All good people go to heaven. Well, how do you know who's good, who's not? How do you know this? This is kind of this thing that kind of eats at everyone. See, the problem is there are people hinging their entire eternity with something that you've just made up because you really haven't given a whole lot of thought. And so, you know, if you make it up good things, you know, what's wrong with people today? You know, people ask that, so they're assumed that there are bad and there are good people. But we just kind of make the system up time and time again. So what about the billions that never heard about Jesus? I'm just going to reference Romans 2, 14 through 16. It's the idea about God's going to put a light in the heart of people that never heard about them. We're not going to really talk about that today. We'll talk about fairness next Sunday. But here's another one. A lot of times people don't want to go here, although there's been some recent authors. It makes a liar out of Jesus, this idea of good people go to heaven. Again, we have a lot of new lifers who basically say, well, you know, I like new life. I like the idea of Christianity. But, you know, really deep down, I just think all good people go to heaven. And why can't we all just get along and, you know, just, and it's just kind of like the UN of, you know, religious or non-religious And there's going to be good apples and bad apples, regardless of what label you put on the front of people. But if you want to hold the premise, and I'm not saying you can't do that. I'm saying if you do want to say, well, I just think basically good people go to heaven, then don't use the Bible. Okay? That should be clear right now. Don't use the Bible. And understand the implication of this is it really makes Jesus out to be a liar. Are you aware? Are you aware of that? And a lot of people don't want to go there. Well, no, I'm not saying that. You know, like I said, there are some, but the majority, because there's a huge credibility about who Jesus is. And so if the implication of what you're saying is completely undermining or eliminating someone like Jesus Christ, you want to give it a second thought. But the idea that all good people go to heaven, it really makes Jesus out to be a liar. This is the job description in Jesus' day for those who are trying to be good people. They're called the Pharisees and the scribes. And their full-time job was to try to live this really good moral life. And so they had in their days, I've talked about what we call the Old Testament, and there's what was called the Torah, the law at the time. And so it was a grievous thing to violate the Torah. And so they did everything they could not to violate the law. So they created all these other little strictures and guidelines and rules in addition to the law. So you might violate this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule, but not actually violate the law yet. And this is called the Talmud, which was out here, this whole other group of things. And so they would debate on what it really meant to break this law or not. And so they spent their whole life trying to do absolutely everything exactly the way this law was. And then Jesus said these words. It's in your notes. Because people were hanging out with Jesus, and he points out these guys who were seen as the most revered, most holy people of their day. And Jesus said, "For I tell you, common folk just hanging out around me, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So this is getting to the whole deal of what was Jesus' view on all of this. What was Jesus' view on what was good and bad? And you know what Jesus is saying? Listen. Bad people go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. How's that sitting with you right now? Bad people go to heaven. Good people don't go to heaven. Because really, what it is this. It's in your notes. Jesus did not teach that good people go to heaven. He taught that, write it down, forgiven people go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. You see, good people don't see a need to repent. I'm pretty good. Who are you to tell me I'm doing bad? You're certainly not perfect. Good people don't see a need to repent. They don't see their own flaws of what's in them. Bad people do. You know, the Bible, what they do is this. We have these categories of good and bad. The Bible doesn't have those categories. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't talk about these categories of good and bad. It's already kind of defined at the deep core, I guess, what we're all kind of capable of. I have a story on this. It's Luke 23. You just might want to look that up in your Bible if you can. It's the third book of the New Testament. I'm going to read from this a little bit. Luke 23:32. This is Jesus. He's already been arrested. He's been put on the cross. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. Now, this word criminals here is a very fascinating word. It's been used in ancient language in just a few other times. Really, the word there is pirates. And then when we hear the word pirates today, we think of Johnny Depp, don't we? You know, Pirates of the Caribbean. And so the whole image today within, like, the entertainment culture is good is bad and bad is good. So how many times, unless it's a cop show, but how many times on so many movies the prison guards are bad, the prisoners are just misunderstood? How many times are the cops corrupt and the criminals are just trying to make their way through life? You know, the criminal, he could be smart and witty and he steals money and they're just rich people I'm stealing it from anyway, right? Okay? How many times is, the politician always the evil one? And time and time and time and time again, you see the roles reversed, the roles reversed, the roles reversed. And so we have these categories of good and bad here. But that, the idea of a pirate here is someone who had no qualms of killing anybody, men, women, and children, okay? I mean, pirates is like one of the most ruthless type people in culture of the time. So there were two men, both pirates, who were led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals. Very violent act. One on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said to all of them, including these two criminals, he said a word of prayer. And then God immediately answers this word of prayer. Okay, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And then the Romans that were there to divide up the clothes, and they were casting lots to see who would get part of their clothes. The people stood watching. The rulers sneered at them. And they said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one." Then verse 39, "Then one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, agreeing with the people standing down there. Said, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and both of us. Come on.'" And it says in another passage that both of the criminals were actually, had been taunting him. But then one has a change of heart. And the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence." And then he says something very fascinating. He says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Nope, because you're a bad boy. You're too bad. Only good people go to heaven. And, obviously you're not good." That isn't what he said. In fact, the only one we really know for certain, I guess there's a couple of others, Enoch or whatever, but this only one that we really, really see in the New Testament is this criminal, this pirate. And it isn't because he's a good person. It's because he is a forgiven person. You see, this guy didn't have enough time to turn over a new leaf. He goes, "Jesus, I'm just promising from now on I'm going to be a good person. For the rest of my life, I'm going to do the right thing." See? Christianity is not about what you do. It's about what is done. Jesus says, "Forgiven people go to heaven." Write down three things about Christianity then. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. It's not just the elite. Everybody is welcome. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And everyone gets in the same way. Everyone gets in the same way. And that is through repentance. Through repentance. Repent then and turn to God. You know what you have to admit there? You have to admit what the Bible says. There's no one righteous, no, not one. And you say, "Well, John, I have some good points." And then we want to start grading. It's kind of like grading shades of red, okay? "Well, I'm not as red as they are." We want to say, "Well, I'm not." And then we have this list of sins that are the bad sins, and then the sins that are not, offensible. And the Bible doesn't really see it that way. Red's red, okay? And so everybody gets in the same way. It's through repentance, and everybody can meet the same requirement. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And again, the question, what about people who never heard of him? It's a question of fairness, and we'll bring that up next week, and we'll talk about that. You'll be surprised what the Bible really says on that. And you'll go, "Ah, that's good." You'll be surprised what the Bible says. But becoming a Christian is putting all your trust in what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. I don't know where I picked up on this. There's a canceled show, I think. It's called Making the Cut. And it's about special forces in our militaries. And there's a lot of different groups. Like if a certain amount of group of soldiers are invited by invitation to try out to be an Army Ranger. But only so many make it. I think it's a little under 50% make it there. I think the Marines, it's called the Marines Recon, I think is the name of it. And Camp Pendleton, I don't know where they do this. But by invitation also, they're brought there. And I think only about one-third of those people make it into the program. It's huge, takes huge mental toughness and huge physical endurance. And there's another group, Air Force, called the Pararescue. The Pararescue people. And it's stunning. I watched a show on these guys also. And they go for like 3 months. And I think there's like 150 that were selected. You have to do a lot just to even be selected to try out for this. And then on the very last day is a 21-hour day. Absolutely brutal, brutal, brutal day. And their main job is to go in to a hot combat fire situation where the troops have actually withdrawn. And, you know, even though they have mandates, you know, no soldier left behind, sometimes there's situations there where they're wounded and they are dead. Their job is when the fire is so hot that people retreat, is when these guys go in. When they retreat, these are the guys that go in. And their job is to get the wounded, and their job is to get those that are dead. And it showed, they have like these 200-pound dummies, and it showed this one guy in absolute exhaustion. You'd be shocked the physical things that they put them through. And he is dragging him by his arms, and this instructor comes up, and he says, "Don't you see the dignity of who this is? Would you want to be dragged like that?" And he made him, you know, wrap his arms around his chest and pull him out, and this guy is screaming with pain, pulling this guy out. Only 14 out of the 150 made it through to graduation. And they take them to graduation just in their dirty clothes. And they have a tradition that they have a bear claw walk, whatever, where you walk on your hands and your feet. And that's how they all walk into this little humble warehouse. And then they stand there and they all together shout at the top of their lungs their pledge and their commitment. And the gist of it is this, somewhere along the line, and then they say, "And I am willing to lay down my life." And then here is their motto, listen, "That others may live." That others may live. I will lay down my life that others may live. What an exclusive group. There have been 106 billion people live on this planet. Many, 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 many billions of people have aspired to be good people. But none have made the cut but one. Jesus Christ. And he's the only one who could come who is qualified. For God so loved the world that he gave his son who willingly came, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We need a savior. Jesus is precious. Let's talk to him right now.